in this church at this point of time of our history, after thou hast brought us so far and blessed us abundantly. And as this people stands before us as a small sea of people, we ask you, Lord, this morning that you might affect our hearts by this presentation, by the need, by where we are in the history of man, by what is happening in the world scene today, and by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of the calling from on high, and the souls and the needs throughout this land. We ask you, Lord, that you might impact this people. We ask you, Lord, that you might call them anew with a new vigor, with a new calling, that they might open their hearts, that they might hear from heaven. May we again see this morning the harvest fields white and the many, many ministers in training. And, oh, Lord, may we see the necessity for those ministers, Lord, not to get involved in materialism and get pulled off to the side, get sucked off to the side with the cares of life and the fun of life and the world. But, oh, may they keep the vision bright and press on, that there might be an army of pastors and evangelists and prophets of God. Lord, I pray that this people might not grow weary in well-doing. May we keep the vision, that we realize we don't have long left, and there's much to do. Lord, I ask you to add your blessing to this meeting today. Give clarity, perspective, spiritual life. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the people. We thank you for the heart they've had. We thank you for the much sacrifices in time and material. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, amen and amen.
Which thou hast at my feet, and
this day you shall see that those who obeyed my word are those who are blessed of me. Take heed this day and examine yourselves, for I desire to bless thee abundantly.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated, Mr. Minister. Now, we may be lacking seats. If so, I want you that have little children to pick them up and put them on your lap and squeeze in as tight as possible. If you still lack space, just stand and we'll move into phase two. There's two more seats up here in front, Mrs. Ministry. Now, I have a great deal of information to bring you, about 2 hours' worth, and we're not going to take that time. We've got to really move quickly and efficiently this morning. I have so much to say that's bubbling in my heart. First of all, I want to say that if the Lord has spoken just now, and I believe that He has, and either God has spoken or we're liars, and if God has spoken, we do need to hear what God said, right? If you believe that, say amen. I do not believe that we can afford to ignore God, do you? I mean, I'm talking really seriously now. I'm really talking seriously. I'm saying that we are living by the book. That is our hope. That's what we're preaching for. That's what we're doing all of this for. We believe in the Bible. If we don't believe in the Bible, then we have no reason for all of this. We teach our children about Bible stories. We read about the Old Testament. We preach sermons from it. Either it was true or it was a lie. If it was a lie, there's no reason to gather and preach lies. Either God told them certain things in days gone by and they heard and were blessed, or they ignored God and they went under, right? That is the history of Israel. Throughout the book of Exodus, throughout the book of Judges, that's exactly what you see. And throughout the Old Testament and the minor prophets and the major prophets, whenever they obeyed God, God prospered. When they didn't, they went under. And when they lacked faith, God could not take them through. Now, God has told us that He wants us to lay at His feet what we have. Now, immediately, the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, begins to resist that statement. Immediately, the selfish man begins to say, not me. I don't want to. But the Spirit of God is calling His people. It's a faith walk. It is, the carnal man says, but if I give it, I won't have it. But that makes God a liar. We go back to the place where Jesus says, he that seeks to save his life shall lose it. And he that seeks to lose it for my sake shall find it. Pilate crucified Christ to save his neck, and he lost it. It didn't last any time after that. This case, I could go on and give you time after time after time. Somebody move this. I think we have to set this whole thing up there. How are we going to take care of the screaming? That'll be in the way. I can just stand there with a microphone. How would that be? Let's do that. Take that mic off. We face, as you're going to find out, we're going to give you a lot of data this morning. You're going to see that we stand in a very crisis position. I have no doubt in my mind we're going to make it. That is not to say that this is going to be easy. It is not to say that we're going to make it without commitment. It is not to say we're going to make it without sacrifice. That is not to say that. You see, are you going to talk about money this morning? Yes. And if you don't believe that money has any part in God's work, you've come to the wrong place. Because, and I don't know where you've been, because you don't do anything without money today. This church was not built without money. We put a tremendous amount of money into what we have right now. We wouldn't be existing. It isn't all love. It isn't just all love Jesus, and the buildings all pop up out of the ground. And the heat comes on, and they just send us bills. Say, well, no worry about the bill. You love Jesus over there. We have enormous bills, gas bills and light bills and so forth. It takes money to run the work of God. God has ordained through people's giving to support the work of God. I believe that this is the most important cause that you can invest in. And I believe that as inflation begins to crowd us and push us, and we have to prioritize, I don't believe that this is a place we start skimming off and dropping out. I believe we cancel our National Geographic magazines and all and our other subscriptions first before we do this. I believe you cancel the newspaper. I believe you cancel your television. I believe you cancel your Newsweek. I believe that you cancel eating out. I believe that there's all kinds of things you cancel before the work of God. And a lot of people are treating this as the leftover. But God has always ordained that the tithe be the very first thing that ever happened. That as the sheep come through, as you come through the first fruits, as you come through anything you have, you take God's portion out first, and then you trust God to make do with what you've got left over. Some of you are in violation of the principle of God. I do not mean to ball out anybody, to high pressure anybody. But what I do mean is to cut it straight, to bring God's word straight. If I allow you to disregard the laws of God and the principles of God and the heart of God, then I am responsible in you suffering spiritually and materially. So I am going to be speaking frankly. If you cannot talk, if you don't accept frank talk, again you've come to the wrong place, because this here, in this church, we talk frankly. Now, I believe that God is going to see us through this thing, and I can, right now, see, many times my heart says in so many, many ways in my mind, in a lot of ways, you know, I would like to just stay here and never move over to the new site. We're in an efficiency situation here, and it's comfortable, and there's a lot of things involved in the moving that I don't really like. But I don't think we've got a choice. And I can go back to when this church started. We were in our home until we incorporated. And we moved to the Hartley home. The Hartley home was our first church. We had 25 people there. And we started to grow. We felt we needed to move into something bigger. We didn't have anything bigger. We couldn't afford anything bigger. Dr. Calford Dean in our church opened up his heart, paneled his whole basement, paid for the heat and the lights and the waters, suffered all of the things that you suffer when you make Sunday school classes around your beds and your bedrooms. And on the walls, who knows what they suffered and said nothing about. And I happen to know that many kids in their constantly, you're going to have something on the walls, the bedspreads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They said nothing but had big hearts in the whole time when they sacrificed. If it were not for that, we could not have grown to about 50 people before we started decided to move into this assembly. We were about 100 the time we actually moved in. Can you imagine 100 people in one person's house? Well, that's where we were, and we were crowded. If we did not decide to go ahead and build this sanctuary and buy this land, and we did not have the money, we had collected $10,000, and we needed $87,000 to build this beginning sanctuary and so forth, plus the land, and we didn't have it, and we started out by faith without the money with 50 people. If we did not have that, we would still be in the Ferdin home, limited to a few people. The house would be a shambles. Most of you would not be here today. We would not be able to send out the gospel. We would not have the ministers. We would not have the Bible college. We'd be a little group, stingy and unwilling to ever get bigger and ever pay a price. What the price that we paid is people stood up and people said, I'll sell my engagement ring. You already know that I'm married. I'll sell my dish. I'll sell my little boat. I'll sell my second car. I'll sell this. They sold right down to nothing to be able to afford the beginning of this place. They sacrificed. They gave their money. They gave their insurances up. They gave everything they had to trust God. If it were not for that spirit, we would not have what we've got today. When we moved into this assembly, we built it to hold 220 people. And then we had a laboratory, we had a nursery, we had a view room back there where other offices, and we had an office. And we moved in, but after a while we were full. It has always cost us to build. It's always taken sacrifice. You have those who have been with us for a long time have sacrificed for years. You say, I have been sacrificing for years. How long must I be sacrificed? I'm going to tell you how long till Jesus comes and takes us home. And you will count the sacrifice as well worth it, as nothing compared with the eternal glories and the treasures you have laid up on the other side. Besides, I think most of you could stand and say, although I have sacrificed for years, and I've done without a few things, yet God has blessed me. I don't even know how I made it on the income that I had, but God has somehow did miracles, and he multiplied the meal and the barrel, and he made it to stand last. And how many of you can say by upraised hand before God, I actually believe that God has actually put his hand to what I've had, and he's blessed me, and I have sacrificed, but I have not gone without. Raise your hand if you feel that. Thank you. Now, we had to move again. I mean, we had to build again. And so we decided to build the balcony. So we had about another 125 people, the back balcony. And we also were building college building during this time. And then we had to build again, and we lengthened the sanctuary. And we lengthened the educational unit, $108,000 project. $108 million. No, $108,000, pardon me. I'm so used to dealing in millions right now. $108,000. We didn't have $188,000. But we went ahead. We said, give, give. If you don't like to give, you came to the wrong church. Because we've had to give. And we've given again. And God built it. Then we had to build again. We built the alcove. Then we had to build again. We built the upper rooms and the balcony. And all this time we were building the Christian school and also the Bible college. And so we've had a whole long series of one building after another since we've been here. And now we're building again. You see, you're constantly building. I don't like churches that are always building. Then you're carnal, my friend. Then you don't care enough about souls, because all you care about is ease and keeping the money in your own pocket. And so what happens when this age comes to a close and you've been able to buy silk shirts instead of rayon? What happens when you'll be able to buy beautiful $70 shoes instead of $22 shoes? What good does it do you in the long run when you come to the end of the age? How many souls have you bought? How many have you left behind? So you've been able to go on a few vacations and have a few nicer things in your house. But people who've been stingy usually find out somehow they've got the doctor bills went up to cost, the roof leaks, everything goes wrong, and they spend the money anyway. And those that say, I don't know how, but I'm going to trust the Lord, as the years get by, they've had plenty. God has blessed it. And God is saying this morning, give. Lay it at my feet. Lay you all. I am concerned. I am concerned about Community Chapel right at the moment. I know there's big hearts and all the rest. But there seems to be a new little thing I feel that the enemy is trying to bring. And I am going to try to stab it to death if I can by the word of God. And that is a feeling, perhaps, of a materialism that is beginning to say, well, we've sacrificed long enough. Now's the time to buy houses. Now's the time to buy land. Now's the time to buy cars. Now's the time to buy. My friend, now's the time to give. We're trying to get in to the sanctuary. You're going to see the condition we're in a moment. This is not my church. This is your church as well as my church. This is our church. This belongs to all of us. I labor for the ministry here. I give out to you that you might be blessed. This is not something for me. I get a salary, and you get a salary. We all work together for God. And I'm giving largely out of my salary. I can afford it, but I'm giving large. But you know, it's easy to say I can afford it. But it's another thing to give it. Now, when Israel came down to the Red Sea, they were at a crisis, but God saw them through. God saw them through, but they had to obey God. They fell into a wilderness. But what happened? Moses had to drag his sandal across the sand and make a big line and say, all that are on God's side, get over here. There had to be a decision of the people. Yes, they went into Jericho, but there had to be a decision of the people. Jericho must be given as a burnt offering. They weren't allowed to take all the gold out. That was difficult to see gold there and pass it up. That was not easy.
Achan, one man, could not stand that, and he took gold and the Babylonish garment. There were lots of Babylonish garments. There were lots of gold. There was a lot of things that people would like to have had. God says, I want the first as a burnt offering. When everything burnt to me, take none of it. But that's silly. That's stupid. In the carnal mind, God says, I'll bless you in abundance more than if you took it. That's always been the plan of God. He's always required that in the first fruit offerings and everything else. And they had to pay that price, get rid of the stingy Achan out of the camp. The church of God went on. And down through the ages, they were met with crisis after crisis. When they were at Babylon, they came back and they had to rebuild. But listen, the people had a mind to build. When they did not have a mind to build, the temple and the walls, the walls just stood there. Nothing was happening. But when they had a mind to build, the walls were going up. God's church has always gone up when God's people have had a mind to work. When they've had a mind to do something, it's gone up in spite of everything else. I believe that we're standing in a time when the Spirit of the Lord is speaking to His people. And God has said, I have promised you that if this church would lay everything at my feet, I'll see you through. I know how to send money and I will bless. But if your people, if your hearts are not willing to give, and I send money in, you'll just capture for yourself and it'll ruin you, and you won't give it to God and be blessed by it. This is what God has been saying. I believe we've yet to completely fulfill what God has said to do. And so we've had mixed blessings, and we've had mixed, back in the time of Moses, it was blessings and cursings. We've had mixed blessings, and there's been the withholding of the hand of God. People out there had money. But we have needed to pray it in. We have needed to work and pray. We have needed to sell out for God. Listen, we are at a place where we cannot ignore God, nor God's word. I feel that we're at a place, and this thing, I have a concern in my heart, and this is not just a money thing I'm talking about. It's a spiritual thing in the church that I feel, and a move on with God, and a complacency factor, and a materialistic factor, and going out and forgetting God and getting involved in everything else. This is one reason why I hit the other week. I said, I do not want this congregation to become Amway salesmen. Conscience. I don't mind Amway salesmen. I don't mind any salesman. I don't want the congregation to be a earthly product salesman so that all their time is wrapped up day in and day out, all day long, in sales programs. I want them wrapped up in the work of God. Amen? We're in the very last days. That's what's happening out here. The neighborhood is trying to get rid of our college and lawsuits. We're in lawsuits right now. The IRS is trying to get rid of our Christian school. We're in a bind right now financially in the church. Pressures are closing in. There is a move out here to destroy the work of God. But God wants to go forth. The devil is working to keep ministers from going out, to keep people from rising up and becoming a mighty army. The devil is working to bring everybody out, trying to meet the needs of the people. But God is crying out, if you will sell out, I will bless you, and I will anoint you, and we shall go forth as a mighty army of God. Let me quickly get into the situation we have today. We are now at this place. If it were not for spiritual dropouts right now, we would not be able to hold the crowd. We're crowded right now. Look around you. But if everybody were here, we could not hold them. We would not be able to last out until January and February when we hope to be able to get in. But we are not satisfied. We are going to work on those people, pray them back in, launch rescue operations. We have got to have these souls for Jesus Christ. We're not going to lose these beloved souls. And if we had not been willing to sacrifice, we stood here and said, how many boats build again? Even after you've been sacrificing, build again? Because if not, you would not have been here. And they raised their hands. And if it were not for that, you new ones would not be here today. If their hearts did not say yes, their hands have always shot up 100% and said yes. And when we asked to build, we knew we couldn't build that building. We knew we didn't have the money to build it. We did not come down with sound fiscal financial responsibility and say we can build it, folks. We came to, we cannot build it. In the natural, we cannot build it. But I believe we'll get it built. How many vote we should go ahead? You're going to have to back us up. And they all raised their hands. I said, but you're going to have to back us up financially. And you raised your hands. And so here we are. Now, Jack is on the viewfoil, be shining up here on the screen. I think I'm out of the way. Should I stand up here, Jack, or down there? The slides first, yes. I think I should stay here.
we'll have to go very quickly through this because our time is rapidly moving away from us. See how fast we can move this right on here. Here's the original sanctuary going up. Just keep right on clicking unless I have a comment to make. Here's the blue lamps going up for the original sanctuary. Just keep moving them, please.
Yes.
And here you see it's being stained. All right, go ahead. Just keep it moving. Another painting of the ceiling and of the beams.
Most of these people were volunteers that were doing all of this work.
There we see the ring going up right over here to your left. Now the Christian school, Sunday school classes. There it is again from the other side. Now we're adding on now, you see, on the right side, there's Bible College. There's a Christian educational unit. The building has, you'll see the back of it, Phil. See a building to the right next to the frame? That's the portable. That's the prayer room. We took it away from the building. See where it came out from against the building, sanctuary, and moved to the right? Because we're going to increase it now from that size, clear back to where it's sitting at that position. And we're going to increase the education unit against it all the way back also. And the building you see now is the college building, and this wing coming out towards you is the now the library. You can use the... No, we can't use the... Yeah, I have to go up by the screen to do that. I don't have a pointer handy. Keep it moving, please. This is the Bible College building foundations going in. The wall's going up. A lot of square footage area there. And now we get the siding on it. That's before the 700 wing was put on. And the sanctuary extension... to the place where it is right now. Look, all the we had many volunteers, particularly in the original construction. Siding going up. There's the addition you see right there. Now for the 700 wing, pouring the concrete. That's the last Bible College building next to the driveway, to the parking lot. There it is there from the parking lot side. Christian school expansion. This is looking, as you see the airport over there, this is the music room and the kindergarten and the other classrooms with a covered court in between. That's in the back side. There's a house. So we have a preschool nursery in that little house. There's the extended sanctuary now with a catwalk across it. Here's the Bible College building all the way through 700 to the present location. Now, this must be the 36 acres, huh?
I think this is the clearing for the grass area up above. But we're still on the present 8 acres.
Okay. Clearing for the grass area just on the other side of the parking lot here someday for future Bible College buildings.
That's what it looks like now.
And that's what it looks like right now. That's that grass area. We own that grass area right there just past the parking lot. Our Christian school children are using it for the play field to run and play on.
This is a view just taken a week ago.
Okay.
Where it is now.
Now we move on to the 36 acres we bought just across 4th Avenue.
This is before we started, what it looked like over there.
Surveying for the sanctuary and the parking lot.
This is what it looked like before any of the things went into the ground. is pouring the pudding.
Support columns going up. Those cranes, they don't give those away. And all that scaffolding wasn't free either. There's a lot of concrete block back there. A 50-foot high wall of concrete block. How long was it? 180 feet or something?
Remember, the crane is lifting into place the forms for the large 10-foot diameter tower which supports all of the roof trusses.
All the roof trusses come readily down just over the pulpit area.
That's slipped in.
That's Mr. Bill Heasley.
That's the 10-foot tower and the wall going up behind it.
That has air conditioning equipment in it and plumbing, all that kind of thing. And it also holds, it supports all the radio beams, trusses. The trusses are 14 foot high. So they are pouring concrete through the hose, the concrete truck up to the crane, up to the hose, down into that silo. Concrete wall going up right behind Music Ministry.
You're looking at the area which is now the prayer room, right in front of that cement wall.
Right in front of that's the prayer room, and right in front of that is Music Ministry, and on the other side of the wall is the foyer.
This is the foyer area.
That's a big wall. That's a big wall. If you've been over there, you know that's a big place. And that's why it costs so much money. That's a lot of concrete block to pay for and delay.
But those posts are the columns that you see in the foyer over there now.
Those small columns are right at the back of Music Ministry. Music Ministry will be right in front of, right on this side of this whole thing on the platform. And the prayer room will be right back against that concrete wall between that and the Music Ministry platform columns. Those big ducts going in the ground into that big silo for heating, that type of thing.
That big tower is all hollow, and it's a cold air return for the furnaces which are up on the roof, and that big tube there is 6 foot in diameter. You can walk standing up in it underground underneath the floor of the sanctuary clear to the back of the church.
That's a 6 foot diameter, that biggest one. It's a very large, and it takes a lot of money to do all of this, and this is why we poured so much money into a building this size. In fact, that building is so big, what'd they say, Jackie, put three of our sanctuaries in the, how many in the foyer?
The foyer over there is larger than our existing sanctuary.
Well, we can put two of our present sanctuaries in the foyer.
Something like that.
Something like that. I'm not sure if that's quite accurate, but something like that. Those are these trusses we're talking about, 14 foot in height. It was spanning a large area. So this building has to be designed to eventually go up to this maximum capacity of 7,000 people. I believe we're going to get there someday. Now, there was a day we had 25 people. And I made the statement, we're going to have a Bible college, we're going to have a printing shop, we're going to have a Christian school, we're going to have a teen center, which we're still going to have. We're going to have radio, we're going to have radio. We mentioned all these things, and we didn't have any money. We just had 25 people in a home. God had put that vision in my heart. I knew we were going to have it. We've been one of the fastest growing churches in the nation. And this has been a work of God. God has built us from one family in about 12 years to this position where we are today. And I do not think that we're going to have delusions of grandeur at all in believing we're going to have 7,000 people packing that out. Our Bible college, our Christian school is going to be very, very large. This is a mighty work of God coming up in the future. And this is a big thing we're aiming. If I didn't believe this with all my heart, we would not be doing all of this. We would just stay small and comfortable and die with everybody else. But we're going to win all the souls we can for Jesus, get an army train. If we lose it all, what if it's all taken away? Then we'll have done all we could before it was taken away. But what if we don't do anything? You'll have done nothing. I'd rather do a lot for the Lord and lose it all than do nothing for the Lord for fear of losing something. They can't do any more than take it away from us. And if we didn't build, we wouldn't have it. And this is the best use of our money if we lose it all for the souls we've gained for Christ. But we're not going to lose it all because God's with us. And God's with it, who's going to be against us? Nick,
The subcontract for those trusses, like the one that you see, cost us over $250,000 just for those trusses.
That's for all the trusses?
All of them, yes.
No, okay, go ahead.
I can go back to that.
That's right. This is, again, now, is that's right where the platform's going to be, right in front of all of those columns that you see right there.
Somebody mentions you may not know what a truss is. A truss is that large wood structure hung up at the top with the crisscross beams like you see on bridges. That's the main roof support. This is just the start of the roof decking going on. You can see the piles of lumber up on the roof. This is just as they were starting.
Can you see how those big trusses come into that center column and be supported? Okay. Good looking roof decking, isn't it?
Yes, beautiful, beautiful cedar finish. And it'll be finished naturally, just like you see it there. It'll be the finish in the sanctuary.
Okay. This is a rather typical view. This is looking by where the mother's view room is, looking right at the pulpit area. Rather typical from what you'll see sitting down in the pew. This is from basically the same area.
You see, part of the cement floor is in at the left. The pulpit will be about 15 feet directly in front of the large column right in the center of the picture. The platform area is slightly raised. He's pointing to the prayer area. We have a couple of better shots even of that later on. You see the mother's view room window opening at the far right of the picture.
There you can see again. This seems on just a tube. There you can see again the prayer area, and all the prayer areas open to each other. Let me point it out to you.
We can just leave you the microphone up there, Don.
This is just, they had some big air conditioning ducts that are going to be hanging down, and they're in here being painted. That's all that amounts to. And most of the floors, this area is an aisle between the front area and back in here, I think.
I think this picture is taken from the sound control room, which is at the very back and up. It's roughly the view that you'll see looking from the balcony in phase three when it's finally built and we have 7,000 people. That's what you're going to see. Yeah, right at the front of the balcony. Best seat in the house.
Okay. This is one of the big air conditioning ducts that will hang from the ceiling that comes down. Heating also comes through those, I guess. Is that heating?
Yeah, it's heat that comes through those. The cold air returns through the floor.
Yeah, that's heating. It's not air conditioning. It's heat ducts coming down.
All the furnaces for the sanctuary are located on a small roof just behind that big, large column.
This is in the prayer area. Right up here is will be the back of a music ministry. This is a area where they be playing on top of this with the benches against the wall. Down here there'll be benches again. This area is open to that area. Down below that is another area. This is a prayer area downhill, prayer area up here. We have all these different levels for praying right behind the pulpit area, opening up to the area by the altars in front. Same area again.
The three levels of the prayer.
The prayer bench will be right on top of the support hill. This will be all carpeted with carpet.
This is a view looking in the foyer right about opposite the main entrance. The glass windows are right at your left, and it's looking east to the classroom wings and doors to the nursery and the book sales area is the first green area on your left, just the left of the fellow with the blue shirt. Book sales area is right about over in there, and the sanctuary is off to your right.
Okay. Outside view. This is a sound booth area up in Hill.
I think sound booth is just a little to the left. The darker area at the left.
Over Hill?
No, to the left.
Over Hill. This?
Right, yeah, that's the sound booth there.
Okay, this is a this is a sighting that we have inside of the sanctuary. Most of you know who's been over there.
It's a long way to the ground. That's the workman's view of what goes on over there.
You see, it's a pretty high building. Needed for the, a line of sight from the balcony when we put the balcony in. We're not building any higher than it absolutely has to be for a balcony. So you get your trusses 14 foot and you get it down to the bottom of your balcony, and then you're going to have a line of sight some distance and you add on to this. So it takes quite a height.
The outside walls of this building are virtually fireproof. All of those are steel studs that you see, the bright, shiny metallic things, and it's covered with an aluminum pre-painted siding. There's no wood at all in the exterior walls anywhere around the building. This is the main entrance way. You see the four sets of doors across there in that glass window area. This is the main entrance that you'll come into usually if you park in the main parking lot.
Into the foyer.
Into the foyer, foyer entrance.
Okay.
This is a view from the top of the roof of the sanctuary looking over to the cleared area for the parking lot. That's where the parking lot's going to be. And that's First Avenue just behind the line of trees off to your left. There's a roadway that will come in from the north. You can see it's kind of in the shadows there. It looks a little further along than that right now.
This is the is this the foyer right here?
Yes,
isn't it?
That's the foyer
area right there coming in.
Right, the outside doors are not quite on there yet.
This is the foyer area right over here again. And here are Christian school and Sunday school classes. So forth. Behind this area will be the nursery area, another view room behind in that area, also the pulpit right back in this area. This is that focal point where that big column you've been, that big silo you've been seeing. Okay, another area, the foyer area. Next picture. That's it.
Okay.
Now, I do want to express my great appreciation for all of those that have worked and sacrificed so much in getting us to where we are today. I must quickly go through a lot of data that will be shining up on the board and try to get you informed here as to what the situation is at the present. Is that the thing for this working? Thank you.
Time is really getting away from us, and we're going to have to move rather rapidly. All right, the first picture is fast as soon as we can get it up there, please.
Most of you know that any time anybody starts a big project, that it overruns the cost enormously. You know that? When you go to build a kingdom, when you go to build a bridge, when you go to build the B-1 bomber, the TFX, and go build any big plant, anything in the nation, inflation, unknown costs, various things come in and skyrocket, and they usually double when they get through. It's a very common, and it's happened to us right here, as you'll see. A lot of unforeseen things always come up in big projects. Even they come up in Mostly to build a house. You know, the unforeseen things that come up just from building a little house. When you build something large, there's a lot of things to take into consideration. Now, here we see, and Jack, you can use your pen as a pointer as necessary, Bill. Scott Hartley has done a super job in budgeting. He's spent hundreds of hours. He's spent lots of time and a lot of studies and graphs and so forth. We really appreciate that. And these graphs have been made by him and then made by Ron Jones in the art department with Chris Erickson helping him, our editor. This is our growth rate. On the left, you'll see the number of people from 0 to 7,000 people in the column. That represents people. And at the bottom along, you see the years, 1976 all the way up to 1989. This is a projection. Right now, we're at 1978 in the fall, right about that point. Run your finger up, or your pencil up, and we can see how many people we have. We have now up there somewhere around, it's hard to know how many people we've got exactly, but we've got about 1,400 people, as we're calculating right now, just adults. And we have about almost 600 children. Now, we are growing at a rate over the number of years at about 27% has been growing, a 27% rate. You see, percentage rate, as you grow percentage-wise, if you have 100 people and you grow 25%, you grow 25. But when you get 1,000 and you grow 25%, you grow 250. And the number of people you're adding by 25% grows enormously as you continue. If we continue at a 27% growth on that line above the red, this is how it's going to look, which means at 1984, we will reach 7,000 people. That means 6 years. In 6 years, that building will be full, jam-packed, if we had the ability to build it, which we don't have at the present time. That isn't saying that God isn't going to come in with tremendous amounts of money from all kinds of other outside sources and everything with that, and literature and tapes and television, radio, playing upon people's hearts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But at the present, there's no way we could do that. However, most churches do not continue the same rate of growth they start out with, growth. You start to saturate a neighborhood, and as the neighborhood gets, more and more people come in, there's less and less people potentially to draw from. Those that want to come in will come in. There usually gets less and less, and the curve usually keeps dropping and flattening out. Over the years, however, we have not been flattening out. And so we've been going at that rate. If we do flatten out, we've made two more curves. We've made a 13%, which is considered a very conservative rate to drop to 13%. Now, all of this is all meaning unless there comes a major revival. And then it goes hog wild. Once God starts to pull out the rain, we'll wish we had the kingdom. We may be using it. Maybe take it over. I don't know. We put a 20% average in. But you can let your eye come across and see how many people you'll have in what length of time by this graph. Okay, we'll go on to the next one. Now, this is past, present, and future growth of Community Chapel and Bible Training Center. And this curve reflects the average increase of 13% per year, meaning we have taken the conservative line on that last chart we showed you, which is the bottom line, and we have not decided we're going to continue at 27% for this chart, which does not mean that we haven't decided it's going to be that way. It's going to be what it will be. It's going to be what we have capability to build and bring in through witnessing and so forth. But assuming the most conservative figure, this chart will show us how many people we have in that red line that starts from 1,000, and Jack, you keep your pen on it as I talk, if you will, and you see that red line comes up in a curve that's called congregational growth. Now, right now, we're in 1978. Went up on the 1978 line. There we are. Currently, we have about 1,200 seats full, which means we have about 1,400 people, but about 200 are absent from every service. We have people working all kinds of shifts because of Bible college and so forth. This isn't all negligent absence. A lot of us, they can't help it. They have to work all kinds of different shifts. Some of it could be remedied. Some of it could not be. Now, the yellow line represents the number of seats of people that are actually in the service. And assuming the same amount of people cannot make services due to college, going to Bible college and their work schedule and so forth, if that rate stays the same, and I'd like to bring it up, we have the yellow line. Now, the green stair steps represent two things. They represent the time at which we must build again in order to accommodate people. In other words, at which time we are too full. When that red line, when that yellow line reaches, for example, Jack, take the bottom green line right there, about 1,200 people, that horizontal line right there. Okay. Now, that is how many people our present building holds, that first block. As soon as that yellow line hits that the top of that, where his marker is, right there, we have to build again. Now, if everybody came, we'd have to build much earlier, pull it back to the point we'd have to build. Pull back there, we have to build right back here if everybody came, which means you couldn't even seat everybody right now. Now, the first step is in the fall of 1978, which is this next fall.
Now.
Oh, that's right now. Yes, that's the new sanctuary we're building right now. Pardon me. It says new sanctuary, 2,000 feet. Okay? That first step means that is the new sanctuary. It means we come from the first plateau of being able to hold about 1,200 people up to another plateau of being able to hold about 2,000 people by reason of the fact we built a new sanctuary. Now, that new sanctuary will be able to keep us, to house us, until that yellow line hits about that point in about 1981. That's only a short time off, and that's about the first of the year of 1881, which means we have to plan and start building before that time. That means that by 1981 we'd have to build again. That means by 1981 we would fill every seat in the house and we'd have to put extra chairs in. That next jump means 400 extra chairs put in to accommodate the people like we're doing right now and like we did for camp meeting. The maximum, if we crowded it full of chairs and if we got away with it, we would be, and if no more people came, then what we presently are getting at a 13% increase and the same number of people missing services, we could exist until about 1983, which is only two more years, and then we'd have to go into phase three and build two more bays of the church. Now, this church is built, designed in a fan shape, meaning that when you increase the sanctuary, you make another piece of, like a piece of pie, you're cutting out radially from the center. You take another section out of, you build another section onto one side of the large end of the fan-shaped building. So that's two bays. It would, you could put five bays will mean that you have added onto the whole wide section of the fan-shaped building. So we put two bays, will now take us up, so we can accommodate, doesn't say, but more people in 1983. Okay, now we could exist in two more years until 1985, at which time we would have to build the third bay, or is it three more bays? Three more bays. Bringing us up to 3,800 feet. We would be able to go for two more years, and we'd have to build five more bays, taking us up to 5,000 feet. We could go one more year, and then we'd have to put in extra chairs, and then we could go one more year, we'd have to put in the balcony. Now that takes up to 7,000. Now this is at the most conservative level of only a 13% growth, which is half of our present growth, and half of what we've been, for the last 7 years, we've been growing at about 27% rate. So this This is an extremely conservative view. What this shows us is that we have to build rather constantly. We would be able to exist for, let's say, 4 years. We could exist for 4 years before we build again, once we move in, if we put by putting chairs in. And then it's 2 years and 2 years, and then it's 1 year and 1 year. Now, those numbers would cut down drastically if we keep going at a present rate. Now, also you see here Sunday school growth, a line that's projected on a conservative rate. These are all conservative numbers. And Christian school growth below that. This shows us the time we must add a second story to that, to the, above the Sunday school rooms over there in the 36 acres, the new sanctuary, in 1979, which means we'd have to start designing it this spring, or building it this spring. We'd have to start designing it now, building it in the spring, and having it done for about fall to accommodate the Christian school, according to Sunday school. Well, not quite, I guess, huh? The dotted line takes us up to, Scott, can you explain that? Takes up to 1981? Oh, we have to build it in 79, though, right? And it would last us to 1981. It would last us for 2 years. Then we'd have to build again the Christian school, and it would last us for 2 more years. Then we have to build again, and it would last us for 3 years, and build again last us for another 3 years. In other words, we'd have to be building Christian school over there as well. We don't have to worry about, oh, that's the Sunday school. The Sunday school. More Sunday school. We don't have to worry about the Christian school because the Sunday school rooms give us rooms we also can use for Christian school. The Sunday school demands are always more than the Christian school demands. Okay, next chart. I hope this is kind of complicated. I hope you understood that. This is our construction cost history. Starting back in 1976 in the summer. I'm talking about the construction of a new sanctuary and so forth over on the 36 acres. We purchased the land for $324,000. Project warned us every month that you're delaying, the inflation is driving your cost up. At that time, I think $10,000 a month. And we waited about a year or so, and he said, well, you've lost over $100,000 at least. I mean, just inflation cost is growing constantly. If you don't get building, it's going to cost you twice as much. And we were praying, waiting for God to send money and waiting for something. We didn't have really the money. It was the most fearful venture in the natural we'd ever taken. It's the largest step because we kept adding to this building. This is the big step, the move. Once we make the move, the next step will be easier again because none of them will be the size of this one, I don't think. And we'll have more people, and proportionally, none of them will be near as large. We are now making the biggest move of our history. Once we get in, it'll be easier from then on. We'll always have more people to pay for the next move, and each move will be smaller. But there will be a need for continual growth. All right, now, this was the total before the environmental and conditional use permit requirement, before the county got through with it, and the neighborhood. Okay. Now, this is 1977, the fall, when we started work. Our 1976 estimate for the building cost, including the land, was $1,624,000. The inflation rate on the building part of that, $1,300,000, was $260,000. We had lost I'll put it this way. The cost had gone up $260,000 more just in that time that we waited to build it. So when we came along for new figures, it was over $250,000 higher just in that waiting time. You know what's happened in your homes? You go buy houses. I mean, you know the story, don't you? How much the houses have increased? Well, that's what's happening out here in all kinds of buildings. Now, the environmental impact requirements added another $250,000. All the things they've required of us down here, they're going to try. They're trying their best to make it impossible for anything but super high, big denominational churches to ever make it. I brought this to you about 8 years ago, that at that time the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches were working hard, saying we represent the churches of America, and they've been working hard with the planning commissions to make things more and more stringent and difficult all the time for the small churches, trying to drive them out of existence. But God's calling us to grow so big that we're not going to be a small church, we're going to be a large church, and the big ones are going to have trouble, and the big denominational churches are going to have trouble keeping up with this. We're going to get it built, but it's run the cost up. And $250,000. We've had to add security guards over there. It would cost us $20,000. They are stealing things so thick and fast that if we left the equipment and things over there, in fact, we went over there, our security people have found, I'm not sure who the person is, we don't need lawsuits against us for libel, but we saw a son of one of the people doing the prosecuting, doing the lawsuit against us. His son was out there pulling up the stakes, the surveyor stakes. It cost us a lot of money, yanking up the surveyor stakes. Our security people, there's an army comes in there all the time a vast number of people are always driving in that building. I'm nervous because of time. I'm getting my tongue all twisted up. A lot of people are driving in at nighttime. And some of them very late at night, like 2 and 3 in the morning when you're not looking at buildings. And they see the guards and they leave. In fact, the guards caught people with a whole car load or van or something full of equipment they had taken from our building. And it was all loaded up when they caught them. And they're now in jail because of it. They are sitting places blind, and we had to put in security for us to protect us. We would have had a lot more than this. We would have had constant damage. We're living in wicked days. Now, there is an omitted and underestimated cost, an original estimated of $480,000, which is mind-boggling. But let me get to my right page here. This includes a lot of things that wasn't in the original estimate. Includes $80,000 finance charges. The banks know how to get their money. The sewers, is this $100,000 package?
No, that
was the increased cost of sewers over and above the original estimate. Was also an overrun. The landscape, this includes landscaping, $40,000 landscaping, which is very minimal landscaping, something that size. It includes $30,000 clearing, and they wouldn't let us burn over there. They made us haul it all away, all the trees. We had to clear all that land of trees. Over here a couple of miles, they let them burn, but we weren't allowed to burn. It seems like we're not ever allowed to do anything, it seems like, around here. Everybody else can do it but us. They've got the reasons for it, but we're paying for it in the meantime. It includes about $115,000 in engineering fees, consultant fees, sound consultant fees, all types of things like this. Our architect has done his portion at half cost, but other people have not. Includes increases in trusses of $100,000. By us waiting, the trusses cost $100,000 more than they would have. Now, what I'm saying is, if I feel like that we've had to make this change at this time, that we dare not wait, because we're already full. We're never going to get more money because we're not going to get more people. And if we don't make this move now at this time in our history, inflation is going to keep driving this thing higher and higher and higher. And it means that we'll be limited to the size we are from now until Jesus comes.
which means we will not do the work for the ministry that we need to, and furthermore, it means that we will not be able to grow in a Bible college and Christian school, continue this kind of growth as needed. Now, a lot of our growth in a Bible college comes because we get people into the church, and then they want to come to Bible college. That means there'll be a lot of people not coming to Bible college because they're not coming to church. You turn to my Bible, honey. There's a paper in there that I want. In our Sunday school alone, what would happen if we were not allowed, if we did not build at this time and point in our history, is we would find ourselves in an immediate problem. Because right now, somebody snap on these lights, please, right up here overhead for me. Right now, in Sunday school, listen to this, we currently have 600 students in our Sunday school, nursery through the ninth grade. 155 in the beginner department, 193 in the preschool, 176 in elementary, and 56 in the junior department. You're currently using 24 classrooms for 22 classes, and we have no classes left available for additional rooms. We are currently functioning at full capacity in all Sunday school classrooms except in the 7th through 9th grade. We have from 155, we've gone from 155 students in our Sunday school in 1973 to 600 in 1978. Now, in addition to the new babies being born each month, we've also had new families registering their children in the Sunday school weekly. And from January through September of 1978, this year, in only 9 months, we have registered 165 new students in the Sunday school, of which only 45 were new babies going to the nursery classes. That means that approximately 120 new students were registered in the Sunday school in the last 9 months other than babies, other than those being born in the family, coming from the outside. Praise the Lord. Now, what happens, you see, we have a pyramid effect, which means that as the college students are falling in love, getting married, having children, we are getting very large preschool nurseries, which means large first grade, large second grade. That begins to wend its way up into high school. And pretty soon you have very large classes in high school. We have two first grade classes, four kindergarten classes. That pyramid is continuing to build because there's more babies below it, and even a larger scale. If we do not move out of this building, we have no more room to build buildings. We have no more place to put these children. We are going to have to cancel Sunday school or cut it down drastically or something. They're growing up, and we've got to have some place to put them. We're in a place where we must build at this time, which means we're going to have to suffer a little bit. There's going to be some inconveniences. You're going to have to be willing to sacrifice a little bit. You can't be just come and drink it all in and not be willing to take your turn at taking care of the babies and the children and not take your turn at transporting people back and forth. And there's a whole host of things that come in the transition ministry like we're coming into, that we'll be bringing you. It's going to cost us something to have room for our children. It's going to cost us something to grow and have souls. It costs something for the ministry, for the gospel. If God's people are not willing to pay something to work for God, they will not have it. This church has always been willing. This is why that in the 11 years we've been here, well, we haven't been here 11 years, but we started 11 years ago. This is why we have grown to this place we have. This church has always been willing. We haven't heard grumbling from this assembly as far as willing to go into it. Albeit, not everybody has done their full part. We want to talk about that a little bit later. All right, we're ready to go into the next one. Now, total 1977 price is $2,634,000. Then, for the new building, including the land. That's up $1 million from what it was before. Now, spring 1978, that's this last spring. Our 1977 estimate was $2,634,000 for a building. Inflation, just during that time, drove it up another $462,000, almost $500,000. The faster we build, the more we save in inflation costs. The more we drag this out, the more it's costing us. The longer we wait to build, the more it's costing us. The sewer route change, $100,000. They told us we could hook up right across the street. And then after we were in operation, they said, and building, they said, well, we've made a test on it. We're way too full. We can't handle you.
We verified it. We didn't just take the word for it. We pressed them on it. And they made tests on it. And we've now had to go hook up way to the north. It cost us $100,000 more. We were able to get our sewer lines in before the final blacktopping. It's in now and pressure tested, and it's all right. And we did save the cost of turning up the asphalt again on First Avenue, like we were afraid we weren't going to be able to for a while. Parking lot clearing, utilities under estimate, $180,000. When they come back, and because of additional requirements, because of additional costs, completing their engineering studies and all the rest, this includes the business upswing. This means that at the time we got our bid, business was in a slump, and the contractors were hungry. They came in, they gave you a low bid. Now we came in to do the work, and business construction is going booming right now because of the need of houses and so forth. And now you can hardly get them to come out. Now they're bidding high. They won't give you low bids anymore. And so $180,000, that's more inflation rate is what it really amounts to in that matter as well. TV rough-in, we are wanting to bring the nation into community chapel via TV. And when God really moves in our assembly, we want to be able to turn the TV on and let him be in the service, enjoy the whole service with it. We'll be able to edit the tapes all right, but they'll be able to be in the singing and the praising of the Lord and the sermons, and let them see how God is moving here, which will make them want to come to church here, want to come to Bible college, want to order the materials, the tapes, music, and all the rest. I don't foresee TV talk shows in general. That's not going to be our main ministry. I don't really want to do that. But I do want to bring them into the service. And we are not putting in the TV equipment right now, but we're roughing it in for that in the future. For the time that we're ready, we can put it in. And the money comes in and we're ready spiritually and in the assembly. And the climate is right. But it cost us $50,000 for TV rough-in. The interior acoustic wall, which is has to do with engineering studies and building to bring this sanctuary into a place where it is compatible for television and radio and singing, make it acoustically pleasing so you want good echoes and bounce back or dead walls or whatever, is $180,000. There's a big canopy, special canopy over the music ministry group. There's a PA system. There's surfacing of the walls and so forth. That brings the total cost, a new cost of the building up to $3,454,000. You see how it's increasing all the time. Now, at the top we have that new figure, $3,454,000. We have $146,000 in overruns. Now this is a whole lot of things. It means that we found that when you go down and you dig in the soil, that we didn't hit a hard pan, as we had to go a little bit further to go down into good hard pan little than anticipated, and so it cost more concrete. It means that I need my writing here. It means that we went to a little better decking also and cost a bit more money, so we have more pleasing decking. But most of the things were things that when you get into it, you find out you've got to do something else to take care of a problem coming in, or this or that. And so there's $146,000 overruns. This is a big building we're talking about. This thing's down to $3,600,000. In 1978, fall, that's where we are right now. Our spring estimate of $3,600,000, but the inflation from last spring through May has run the additional cost up another $200,000. Now, you say, what's all this inflation? I'm talking about what's unspent that we have to, they keep increasing it. For example, you order concrete. When you order concrete was in about $20 a yard. And it's risen to $35 a yard. Now it's up to out there they're paying $45 a yard. From 20 to 45. Now, those are not things you bid. You just order it. When you're ready for more steel, when you're ready for bolts, when you're ready for concrete, when you're ready for this type of thing, and you order it, it's now at a new high. Your estimated figures are no good anymore. Inflation is driving the cost up. Wallboard, things are just going at a fantastic rate A lot of these things are doubling. Some of them have even tripled in cost. And it's the big market out here building right now that has allowed them just to skyrocket the cost because everybody's demanding it. So they're not hungry. So they're having to stand in line and wait for concrete right now. It's at a place that you cannot get concrete whenever you want. You call up one concrete and say, sorry, we can't deliver. And so they can charge any price they want. There's no competition, hardly. So the new building costs $3,800,000. We're fighting to get in, is what we're trying to do. All right, next page. This takes us through May. The reason we said May instead of January and February, it now looks like we can't get in because of bank reasons. We'll explain to you later, coming up here. All right, this is a cost history summary. Total inflation has driven the cost of building up $812,000. The environmental requirements by King County, $250,000, including making the EIS and going to court and all that type of thing, lawyers and all that. Sewer route change, $100,000. Overruns and underestimates, $784,000. Now, in there is a lot of inflation that's hard to really pinpoint as inflation, but a lot of it's inflation. You underestimate, and then at a later time, there's either things that you didn't anticipate, or else there's things that are at a higher cost at that time that you can't necessarily pinpoint as normal inflation. I don't know how to explain all that, so I don't fully
understand.
Yeah. When you come to do it, the cost is high. You're not quite sure what the reason is. Wallboard, for example, has doubled. Financing wasn't in the original estimate because we didn't plan on financing. We didn't think we were going to have to finance. But now there's a tremendous cost in financing. Then we've had to finance again. So there's another cost we hadn't planned on. This is added. I got $100,000. $100,000. That sound right? Additional financing cost.
Yes, that's not even counting the interest that we've had to pay during
the year. Yeah, the extra financing costs have cost us $100,000 in financing costs alone that the bank gets. This does not include the interest rate. Just finance costs, not the interest we've already paid or are going to pay. TV facility, $50,000. Sound system, $180,000. So the cost growth has been $2,176,000 plus the original estimate of $1,624,000, leaving us at $3,800,000. Okay, next page. The time's getting away from us. You got to move. October 1, 1978, our final building cost, $3,800,000. We spent to date $2,312,000. That's come either from you or it's come from the bank. The balance needed to complete is $1,488,000. If we don't hurry up, there'll be more overruns. And there probably will be some more inflation before we get done here. But we're trying to anticipate. Now, resources. Bank balance from the bank loan, $845,000. Now, this is the amount of money that we have available to use for the building. That is, this is the amount of money from the bank loan that we have not spent yet. And by the bank loan, I'm talking about $1.7 million which we borrowed originally, plus another $0.3 million we borrowed just about a few weeks ago. We haven't told you about yet. We told you ahead of time, but we haven't explained it yet. The church cash we have available is $5,000. We don't have much church cash available. That gives us $850,000 we have yet to be in our pocket, so to speak, in the bank pocket to spend. The balance that the church must raise between now and next May when we get in is $638,000. The estimated present giving, if it continues at the present rate for its construction, will be $270,000 more that you'll give. That we will be able to use to add to what the bank we have left in the bank money to put into it, and so the amount that's still needed Time we subtract the money that the church should raise from, how do I say this? Yeah, from the present giving, the amount we have to raise. Anyway, the amount we still need to complete is $368,000. You want to explain that, Jeff?
We have a need for $638,000 to complete the building, and if we're going to get $270,000 from giving, then we still have $368,000 to make up from somewhere else. Now, we're short. After you have given, according to your present giving pattern, and after taking the money from the bank, you're going to be $368,000 short that we don't know how we're going to get to complete the building. Okay, can I have the lights, please? Now, I better run. I don't want to take any more time than I have to run. This is running into the morning service, and I hope I didn't want to do that. 3 weeks ago, we were $668,000 short of completion. We applied to the bank for an additional $465,000. The reason we didn't apply for the full $668,000 is because we were expecting you to give the balance in the normal monthly giving with the amount to the balance. So we only needed about $465,000 to take care of all these overruns. It was a lot higher than this, but we cut things out, we trimmed, we dropped, we worked a panic operation to drive it down from $1 million to $465,000. And so we applied for the bank. We finally got the word, and the bank gave us $300,000. They would not give us the $465,000. They said, you can raise the rest, you do it. And they said, in addition, you've got to pay this back fast in 5 years. They would not allow us to put it on the original contract. They want it back in 5 years. Which means you've got to have two loans. We have the original $1.7 million loan, the additional $300,000 loan, which makes a $2 million loan for your mortgage. The financial costs during construction. Loan fees and closing costs, $96,000, including paying off for the land we now have, which the bank insisted on. So this land we now are sitting on is paid off. I can understand this now. Payment on the principal is $23,000 a month to the bank. You're paying on the principal $23,000 a month. That will start May the 1st. That will amount to $276,000 a year, over $250,000 a year. This includes both loans, the $1.7 million and the $0.3 million loan. Underestimates include the above $96,000 financing cost. Now, next view for you. Turn the lights off again, if you will. Now, here we are, $368,000 short. What are we going to do? Possible cuts, deletions, and or postponements. If we want to get really wild and wicked about it, we can maybe cut $400,000. Now, we need to cut $368,000 just to get in. These are the things we could do. We could delete the foyer carpet, which would be a mistake because you're dragging sand right into your sanctuary carpet. And that's beautiful carpet. I would hate to do that. It'd be awful noisy out there, and I'd hate to be not to have a carpet to take up that sand. But that could be done. We could delete the landscaping, which doesn't have to go in. But it'll be awful bare around there. We can do that. And we're willing to do that. We can go through the liquid propane gas tank.
That's deleting it.
We can delete the liquid gas, propane gas tank system. But if we do that, it'll double our gas bill. But that can be done to get in. We can delete all chop and bulletin boards, all shelving, and all the rooms. You put everything on the floor, and all the classrooms, and also includes storage rooms and so forth. We can up and top again. We can leave out most all the cribs and the cabinets, and the nurseries and other rooms. We can delete the finishing the book sales area for books and tapes and so forth, which means we won't have it ready for you to be able to use it coming out of church service. You won't have to be able to pick up your room to buy books and take care of all the
that type of thing, as we can, as we anticipate. We can take the risers off of the platform, which means if you sit flat, you won't be able to see them all in the back rows. It makes it really poor. And it kind of messes it up in how we want to drop down the various, perhaps it does anyway, the various microphones. But that could be done. We can loop out the acoustical walls and the canopy overhead, which means that we're going all kinds of echo and so forth, and music won't be real good. We could do that. We could leave out most exterior concrete walks. I don't like that. I don't like to walk on dirt. It's not good for the building and the loading areas. Now, I'm not sure we could do all these things if we wanted to, because the bank, and we're not through the list yet, plaster on the curved walls on the sides of the platform could be left out, and this would leave plasterboard. We could lease the PA equipment instead of buy it. We can reduce the construction labor force, which means layoff. And that means stretch it out further, which means more inflation, but we won't pay so much per month. If you don't give enough, that's what we have to do. Now, the bank won't let us do all of these things. We're not sure how much they'll let us do, because we're set up so that we can't even collect from the bank until they come in and check and see that certain things in, because they'll loan money to cover this stuff, carpets, et cetera, et cetera. So we don't know how much of this the bank would let us get away with deleting. We think we could delete some of it. Now, offering facts. 13% of a giving unit. What we mean by giving unit is a couple, a husband and wife, a family is one giving unit. A single person in Bible college is one giving unit. 13% of the giving units in the church provide 50% of the offering income and new construction support. 13% of the people of this congregation are supporting half of the congregation. I don't think they should have to do that. Now, some people do make more money than others, and it's only right that they should give proportionally more. But some people are sacrificing to the hilt, while others are not doing their part. They are not giving. They are draft dodgers, or whatever you want to call them. 66 giving units, that is, 66 units are contribute nothing. That is, we have no record of them giving anything. They might give into the cash. Percent. 96% we have a record of. So we do know what happens to about 96% of our money. And 66 units are giving nothing to the church as far as we know, or they're giving through cash, which is a very small percentage. Now, the average giving per year has increased from $607 per unit in 1976 to $1,210 per unit in 1978. In 2 years, there has been almost 100% increase, or almost double, in giving in the last 2 years. We want to thank you for that. We would never make it. We would never have that church if it hadn't been for your giving, doubling. That does not mean, however, that some people should not have given more at that time. Now, a current weekly offering averages $18,000 a week. To complete the new sanctuary by March the 1st, we would need $21,500 a week over and above the current weekly offering. Over and above. And we would have to more than double. That is if we make none of the cuts we just got through mentioning. Now, to complete the building by June the 1st, end of May, we would need $12,100 more, which is, you see, two-thirds of what we're giving right now, a week needed over and above the current weekly offering. That is, if we don't make any of these cuts. I think what will happen is we'll make some of these cuts, but not all of them. Now, we have a... this is a record compiled by the accounting office as to the giving of the congregation. I have never seen the giving. I do not know how much you give. I have never seen the records. But accounting office naturally does. Now, this is 1976, two years ago. On the left-hand column, you have, as you point to that, Jack, we have year, how much they give a year down that column. And the next one is how much they give per month. Okay, now, the next column is the percent of the congregation that gives. For example, 4.9% gave nothing, as far as the record is concerned, meaning 35 giving units. 35 units gave nothing, and that's amounts in cash. Now, those that gave in the green band bill from $0 to $4 a month, 17%, 0.8% of the congregation gave from $0 to $4 a month, which is an awfully small amount, 128 giving units. 128 people, which is one-fourth of all the giving units, have given less than $4 a month, $4 or less a month, which is very, very small. If we move down to the next unit, $16 to $25 a month have been given, was given by 8.9% of the congregation. About one-half the congregation has given $16 to $25 a month. Okay?
Or less.
Or less. Well, $16 to $25. Or less, does that mean?
Yes, or less.
Or less, okay. Half the congregation gave less than $25 a month 2 years ago. Now, 85% of the congregation gave $50 to $100 a month, or less. Now, less than $100 a month, what does that mean? 85% gave less than $100 a month. You go down here to the bottom, you'll see that nobody gave over $400 a month. Only two people gave from $350 to $400 a month. And nobody gave $300 to $350, and only three people $250 to $300 and so forth. You can go up the line and see how many people gave how much a month. That was 2 years ago. Now, because of the needs and necessities, pastor talk from the congregation, and the open hearts before the Lord and so forth, that number has increased. Did you hand me that paper, Jack, the other one? Now, looking up on top, we actually have 6.7% of the people giving nothing, well, that's loose change, which is more than we had 2 years ago. Last 2 years ago, 4.9% gave nothing. We actually have more people giving nothing than before. 35 units were giving nothing. Now it's up to 66 units giving apparently nothing or very little. We move down to the next band, the green band, $8 to $16 a month. Previously, 8.9% of the people were giving this amount or less, this amount, and that's, let's see, one-fourth of all giving units are at or less than this. Now, how does it equate? 8 to 16. Let me look at this a minute.
Yeah, from 67,
9 to 5,
65, 9, that's 25%.
Okay.
Taking the percentages of all the lower categories.
Before, 8.9% were giving at this rate, and now it's dropped to 5.9%. In other words, less people are giving the smaller amount. Let's move it up a little bit, and we'll see it climb. Now, half the congregation is giving $42 to $50 a month. But before, half the congregation, or less, before half the congregation is giving $16 to $25. Now, the half the congregation is $42 to $50. So we're doing much better in that category. 50 people, let's see.
Well, it's more than, it's just 50 in that one category, but half of the total number of people are getting there or less.
Okay, let's go up to the next band then. I haven't had a chance to study this too much. 80% is now giving $150 or less a month. So before, 85% were giving $100 a month or less. So you are giving a great deal more money than before. And down at the bottom, for nobody was giving $400 to $450, four people all. And well, only two were giving $350 to $400, up one, nine people all. And well, zero were giving $300 to $350, 26 all. And with three were given $250 to $300, 25 all. We're doing much better. In fact, now we've got see, now we've got 19 people giving $450 a month or over. Praise the Lord. We appreciate that increase. We are not trying to bleed the people. We are all trying to build the sanctuary. And the longer we wait, the higher the inflation cost is. Do we have the lights, please? Now, I apologize for running right up to the sermon, practically, or right up to the sermon, but it just took more time than we figured. I do want to say, there's a question coming in about, if you talk about giving, could you mention the principle of tithing out of one's gross income or net? We happened to talk about giving at a dorm meeting last night, and a few of my roommates did not know about that. There probably others not aware of it. It's my conviction Jack, move this up to the micro platform for me, and I'll move. It's my conviction that tithing is an Old Testament principle. Most ministers teach tithing, and they're afraid not to teach it, for fear that if they don't teach it, the people won't give 10% and they won't be able to make it. They're scared to death not to believe in tithing. I personally feel that tithing, from all my studies, is an Old Testament principle to support the sanctuary. But I find that God, who has written the laws and tables of stone, has come down and demanded a 10%, a tithe, given out of your gross at the beginning, plus an offering on top of that, has now written his laws in the fleshly tables of our hearts, which does not mean that there is no law, but he's putting his law in our hearts, which does not mean that now there is no giving to do. He says that God loveth a cheerful giver. He says to give liberally. He says the workman is worthy of his hire. And now in our day and age, and knowing what I know about law and grace, God does not demand less of his people and working and selling out for the gospel than before. I cannot conceive of the New Testament age being such that we should give less than in the Old Covenant, because they had only to support their tabernacle and their priesthood. They had no evangelistic outreach team. They had no radio, no television. They did not have the Bible colleges. They did not have any evangelism. They were just to keep Israel going amidst the heathen nation. We are living in the very last days when Jesus is coming soon. There is a multitude to win. He has given us the great commission to go out into all nations and disciple them. And it is our duty to do that before God, and we've got to pay for it. We've got to win souls in the last desperate age. And God is trying to get a bride ready for him that has to be paid for by God's people. I believe that if God would put in the heart of his people to do more than they ever did under the law in the Old Covenant. I do not believe that a tithe is really sufficient. I do not believe it's sufficient. It wasn't even sufficient in the Old Testament. They had to give an offering on top of that. I do not believe that any Christian should give less than 10% plus an offering. I do not believe that any Christian can afford to give less than they gave in the Old Covenant. I do not think you can just say, well, we don't have to because we can't afford it. I don't think you can not afford it. I don't think anybody can not afford to give unless you rob God. The Bible teaches us in the book of Malachi that God said to the people, you have robbed me. And they said, wherein have we robbed you? He said, in tithes and offerings. He said, now you bring all the tithes and the offerings into the storehouse and see, and prove me wherewith thou sayest the Lord, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out upon you a blessing which you shall not be able to receive. I'll open the windows of heaven. I'll pour out a blessing on you. Not just a financial blessing, but a spiritual blessing as well. And the Lord has spoken to us this morning and told us that he will bless us if we will. He has not wanted us to have us without. In fact, he said, I bless Solomon before you. I want to use you as an example. Listen, my friend.
We are not going to be able to be used as an example if we are not an example. If we do not say, yes, Lord, those that have sacrificed in the beginning, we had a complete sacrifice in the beginning. We didn't have any 0% givers type of thing in the beginning. The reason we got that now is people come in from the Lutheran church, the Episcopal church, the Catholic church. They were in the no church. They were used to giving nickels and dimes and dollars and quarters. They weren't used to giving. They never gave for God. They were buying alcohol and playing down there with Las Vegas and going on vacation. They weren't putting no money into the work of God. Their heart wasn't filled. And they didn't know that you're supposed to. They didn't know you're supposed to give to God of your time, your talent, your money, all in all. There are Christians out there, they don't want to give of money. They want to, well, don't touch my money. My friend, it involves everything you've got. Our whole life is his. We are God, his stewards, to use his money wisely. And then if we burn ourselves out for the Lord, if we work diligently, pray diligently, witness diligently, study diligently, and do everything we can and give all to him, then God will bless us so we can take vacations, we can do nice, we can go out and he'll bless us. He does not want us to go with one suit and ragging tags. And he does not want his people to be poor of the earth. I do not believe. I think the Christians are in a ditch that believe that you are not spiritual if you have anything at all. You have to be poor and world good. I think you're in another ditch if you come out with a materialistic attitude that, oh, it's all blessing, and all we have to do is, if I give to the Lord this, he's going to give me 10 times more, and it's all an investment program. I don't believe that God wants us to invest, and I believe he wants us to give. The Bible says give. And I believe if we'll give from our heart, not to get more money back, but give, he will bless his own people. He said, I have not seen the righteous begging bread. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Don't take any thought or concern or worry over how you're going to be clothed or fed or all these things. I've taken care of the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And he said, all the nations worry after these things, but I'll take care of my own people. I believe that. Either God is true or he's a liar. If he's true, he'll take care of it. He's asked us to do something. Now, we come right down to the wire here in time, and I presented to you the best of my ability in the short space of time we have, the situation we've got before us. We have got to close the gap. You have given a tremendous amount of money. People don't realize how much we give, because many, you know, $1 from everybody, see, is $1,200. $10 is $12,000. People don't realize when they... I took up coin collection one day. This coin amounted to, I don't remember, thousands of dollars. People don't realize that, I won't give an extra $5. They don't realize what happens if everybody will give a little bit more. It does add up a lot. We go along, and I keep hearing the accounting office saying, we're not going to make it. And I come up and I say something, and the giving jumps up. Then I get up and say, good. And the accounting office says, if we keep this rate, we'll make it. And I say, I want to thank all the people. I don't want you to give, and then say, you don't even appreciate it. Then everybody says, oh, good. Everything's fine, and boom, it goes down again, because I just complimented them. And we're doing fine, so all drawing goes down again. And we can't... Now, the last 2 weeks, I'm not going to tell you this, because you might drop your offering. But the last 2 weeks, our giving was up again. And I got another note in saying, if we keep this, we're going to make it. One person gave $10,000 last week. Now, before we that person gave, one person gave $80,000 and et cetera. He got an inheritance, he just gave it all out, just took it like this, in one hand and gave it. Okay. People said, well, you people got money, you can do that, but, you know, us people don't have much money. But really and truly, if all of a sudden you got $80,000 in, could you give it? And say, well, God's been taking care of me, and they need it, I'll give it. You know, it's easy to say that rich people should give, you know, more money. If a millionaire, man makes $1 million in a year, and he tithes, he gives $100,000. It's hard for a rich man to give $100,000, even though he's got plenty. $100,000 is a lot of money to depart with. Old Testament scripture-wise, he's done his part. And if you make $10,000, you give $1,000. You say, well, yeah, but I only got $9,000 left. Look at what he has left. Do you really think that he should give $991,000 and only have $9,000 left? I mean, obviously you wouldn't.
But it is true that people with more money can afford to give more. They can afford to give 20%, 30%, 40%. And they should give proportionally more. Some of you have got land. Some of you have got bank accounts. Some of you have got savings accounts. Some of you have got insurance. Some of you have got securities, stocks, bonds, other things. And I'm not putting pressure. I'm just speaking freely. In my heart, I really feel that you are steward of God's money and of what He has given you. And you make a priority in your mind. And you say, well, if I give that, then I won't have my those few dishes. I won't have that this. I won't have that. That's right. You're going to have to make a decision whether it's more important that we make it and get in and close the gap or whether we don't. We have now pushed the date off from February to May. A year ago, we were telling you we did not know if we had to close down in January, last January or not. Remember that? And then it was February. We went month by month. We did not know that we could make the spring. We did not know. We were not just giving scare tactics. Honestly, and paper-wise, it did not look like we could go over a month or two and we would be out of money. We have gotten through the year. The Lord has given us that enablement. I know we've gone to the banks. I don't know what else to do. We've prayed. We've done everything I know. If you know, you say, I don't like the mortgage. We don't either. You say, well, if you don't mortgage, you can't build again right away. If you mortgage, you can't build again. If you don't build, you can't build again. If you don't build something to build onto, and you don't have that either. Well, what if it's taken away? All I can say, friend, if you don't have it, they can't take it away. I am committed. I am committed to carry on this work. And when we get in, we're going to do everything possible to strengthen our financial base and to be secure. I would like to have enough money continuing to come in to put it aside in the trust and so forth that come the next building, we got the money and we can pay for it. I'd like to be able to do that. This is our big jump, however. And there was no way we could have spanned this gap. But we are 60-something percent through a $3-point-something million project. And that's worth something. And financially, we're more than that to it. Now, we gave opportunity a while back for people to make pledges. We have never taken written pledges in this congregation. We have not told anybody you have to give so much. We've never gone to you and that kind of pressure on you. All we've done is given you opportunity. I'm going to have to close in a couple of minutes. But everybody wasn't healed. Some people have not given to the full pledge, as they said. I'm going to give opportunity this morning again. We've got to know real quickly. Jack, get a piece of paper, please. There's a notebook on this. Should be. Very quickly, if you heal and you feel that the Lord would have you do something substantial and to close this gap, make a pledge, a lump sum pledge. If you can give a certain amount of money and you want to do that, we would be delighted because we really need it to get this into the sanctuary here and not have to cut our workforce back and have layoffs and let inflation costs run up again. Lord, we just ask you right now to have your way. Lord, just speak to the hearts of people. Lord, help them to search their hearts and say, Lord, am I willing to trust God? Because the Lord said this morning, and if you lay at my feet all that you have, I'll bless you. And even as I blessed Solomon before you. And Lord, we know that you're asking your people to be willing to count you first. And Lord, you have blessed them over the years, and they have not hurt, though they have given and sacrificed. You caused the meal to multiply in the barrel. And you're calling your people to walk by faith. And Lord, to trust you. And to be willing to sacrifice some luxury during this time. And we might be able to have a place to build more people in, Lord, because we know that next fall again, more Bible college students are coming in. We have no place to put them in the church. Lord, we're growing at a 27% rate. We have no more place to put them. Lord, we're asking you to help us. We know, Lord, we're going to be very, very crowded and overcrowded by the time we move in. And we need the money. And so we ask you, Lord, to cause your people to consider all these things. And speak to their hearts right now. Help them to be open and say, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do my part. And Lord, help them right now to be willing to trust God. In Jesus' name, amen. Is anybody out here that's critical about this? Don't give. We don't want one board unhappy in this building. We don't want anybody. You do not have to give a cent. You stand between you and God. But I do feel to warn you and to tell you how I feel that God's word is, what God is saying. I feel that God is demanding of us. And I'm giving my part. And we're trusting you to do yours. Anybody here else? I don't have any insurance. I don't have any. I have nothing piled up at all. And I'm giving very largely per month. Anybody here that feels that they have money, they haven't had an opportunity to give before, or they've held it back, or the Lord is working on your heart. You do have, some money has come in. You would want to make that volunteer. Just raise your hand and say $10,000, $1,000, anything like this. We'll give you an opportunity. Okay, thank you. Yes. 2,000. Thank you. And we realize others the money to come in. Yes. How much? In 500 and 700. Thank you. You have 1,000. Is that for sure? Is that possible? Okay, for sure. If it's not positive money, if it's a first sale, I'll just say possible. And otherwise, we'll assume it's positive. Yes. Thank you, sister. $1,000. Yes. 800? 1,800? Thank you. 1,000, thank you. How much? 3,000. 1,300. Okay, speak very loud, please. 2,500, thank you, sister. 500. 600, thank you, brother. 1,600, thank you. 2,000 possible, thank you. $20,000 possible, thank you. 500, thank you. 1,000, thank you. 400 possible, thank you. 500, thank you. How much? 1,000, thank you. Anyone else? 300. 25? 25 possible. Thank you for my child back there. Appreciate that. Yes. 4,000 possible. Thank you. 20 possible. 2,000 possible. Thank you. 150. 150 possible. How much? 200. Thank you. 150. 150? Thank you. 100. How much? 3,000. Thank you. Shut it out. 500. Thank you. 1,000. Thank you. 1,000. Thank you. 300 possible. Thank you. 300. Thank you. 150. 100. Thank you, all of you. 1,000. Thank you, sister. How much? Possible 25. Thank you. 35. Now, little lad. Thank you, son. 600. Appreciate that. 150 possible. 100. Thank you. 1,000. Thank you. Appreciate that. 200. Thank you. 1,000. Thank you. 75 possible. This represents sacrifice. People, you know, it's nice to be able to have the money to buy something, but they're saying, yes, Lord, I know this is a need. You've got to do something, and I'm willing to do it, and I deeply appreciate it. 50, thank you. 2,000 possible. 100 possible, thank you. 150. How much? 250, thank you. 200, thank you. 300, thank you. 800 possible, thank you. 5,000 possible, thank you. Thank you. 1,000 possible. Thank you. 1,000. Thank you. Really appreciate your heart. Really appreciate it. 1,000. Thank you. One day we're going to be sitting over there praising the Lord saying, we made it. Hallelujah, we're in. One day we're going to be sitting up there saying, hallelujah, we made it. Praise the Lord. And not only that, we're going to be saying, thank the Lord, those people are in that would not have been there if we didn't give opportunity to grow and give room for them to come in. Yes. 100. Thank you. 100. Thank you. 100. Thank you. $25. Thank you. Appreciate that. 1,000 possible. $100. Big button? Labor, well, thank you. We appreciate that. Anyone else? Money. $20. $100. Appreciate that. Now, yeah, the pastor needs to come in real soon, right? how many can increase your giving? Would you raise your hand? If you can increase your giving, you'll do that for the Lord. Are the sisters up the paper out in front of you in the pews? No. Sisters, while we're going on with the service, walk down the aisle with a scratch pad from the office, hand it to the people, have some pens in your hand, if they need one, and you write down the amount of money, just write down the, say,